Back, everybody, to 720 WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm your host, Elise Klink, sitting in for John Williams today. I'll also be back tomorrow. We have a little bit of a short show today because we've got some baseball. So you want to stay tuned for that. So let's do a quick recap. Stock markets are down. The Dow is down 214 points, but that's only not even 1%. NASDAQ, on the other hand, is down 206 points. That's almost 2%. Both indices have had a big swing today. The S&P 500 is down as well, about 1.25% at the moment, down about 43 points. So what's going on in the markets? Well, it's been an active day, as it seems to be every day these days. Airline CEOs are meeting at the White House. They're trying to avert mass layoffs by getting some more funding. I don't know if you've been in an airplane. I haven't been in an airplane since March. March 10th, in fact, I took a day trip to Boston. This is the longest time in my entire professional life, I think, that I have not been on an airplane. And, in fact, air travel is down a huge amount, something like between 80 and 95%, depending on the airport and depending on the airline. I think Southwest is doing better than most. I think travel at Chicago Midway is only down maybe, I think I read 65% versus I think it's in the 80% for O'Hare. But in any case, it's down a lot. And the one thing that's not coming back is business travel. My conferences are all canceled. Everybody I know, their conferences are canceled. I've got one conference coming up in December in Miami. Pretty sure that's going to be canceled. We actually saw yesterday that the International Home and Houseware Show, which has like a new name, like the Inspired Home Show, that is a huge show that always takes place in March at McCormick Place. They canceled this year. That was right when all the shutdowns started to happen. And they moved it to next March. They've now just postponed to next August of 2021. And I think that's indicative of what we're really seeing in terms of business travel. Nobody feels confident that at the beginning of next year, even 5 or 6 months from now, that we're going to all feel safe enough or be able to get on planes around the world. This is a big international show. They've got a huge component of Asia. People from Asia that come over to show their wares, they don't feel comfortable. They're not going to be able to do it, and so they've already pushed back from March of 2021 to August of 2021, and we're going to have to see if that continues. The jobless numbers didn't look so great. They look better than before, but we're still down, you know, another over a million people between state and federal and the special PUD. Unemployment, all of them applying for unemployment, those numbers have to come down a whole lot lower than they were. They were lower than the prior week, 1.4 million total compared to 1.73 million total. Still not great. This is not where it should be. We should be like under 200,000 initial jobless claims, and we're not. So we're not out of the woods yet, and we'll certainly talk more about this tomorrow. We've got Mark Hamrick coming on from Bankrate. He's going to talk a little bit about the numbers and what they mean, and we're going to take your calls as well.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. United Airlines and its pilot union leaders have reached an agreement not to furlough any pilots before June. An agreement was approved by the Airline Pilots Association leadership and will be voted on by rank-and-file pilots starting on Monday. Cars.com is looking to shed some of its office space in the West Loop. Cranes reports the company has listed one-third of its space at 300 South Riverside for sublease. The move follows the company's decision to cut 10% of its workforce earlier this year amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Print With Me, a Chicago startup that operates wireless printing services in coffee shops, co-working spaces, and apartment buildings, says eligible voters nationwide can now print their 2020 voting forms for free at any Print With Me printer. Those forms include voter registration and absentee ballot applications. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
So the stock market doesn't look so great today, but there's always tomorrow. I'm Elise Klink. I'm sitting in for John Williams. We have Ian Schur, editor-at-large, with us from CNET, CNET.com. Hey, Ian, welcome back to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Just watching the stock market, thinking I don't want to be thinking about the stock market.
Well, that's important. Taking some time away from that wild ride is never a bad thing.
Well, let's take a little time and talk about the TikTok Oracle deal. So I saw this morning that President Trump was saying that he might allow Oracle to buy 20% of TikTok, and he hasn't decided about what to do about the rest of that. I thought the deal was that the company was supposed to buy TikTok so that it was out of Chinese hands.
This is one of the most confusing and oddball acquisitions I have ever seen. And I have been covering the tech industry for over a decade and watched a lot of crazy stuff. Part of it is that it's all happening in public. So what normally happens behind the scenes, where people kind of have all these back and forths and there's a lot of debate, this is all happening in public, and you've got the White House involved. Also not that common.
No.
So it's been a really interesting thing to watch, but it's been this constant drama. And, you know, we heard a week ago that this was all said and done. And then we find out that, oh, actually, maybe not. And, you know, there's debate about how much. The Chinese government has started putting restrictions on all of this, saying, well, you actually can't buy the technology from us, just the company. So there's all this stuff going on, and it's really hard to tell how it's all going to land, because everyone seems to have a different opinion depending on the day you've got.
All I know is that originally it was like, okay, you have 24 hours or 48 hours to sell the company, and if you don't, we're going to not allow TikTok in the U.S. And wasn't that like 3 weeks ago?
So it was actually, he gave them 45 days.
Oh.
And that expired, I believe, on the 19th. So expires, or the 15th. It depends on how you count the days. But at the end of that period, the president can choose to ban the app based on national security concerns. Now, on top of everything else and all the wackiness we've talked about, the other thing that a lot of people point to is that though the government says there's national security concerns, and it's a bipartisan thing, we hear it from Democrats and Republicans, no one's actually coughed up any evidence that there's national security problems with this app. So that's another aspect to it, is that the Chinese company and the government say, well, wait a minute, what are you doing here? You know, we as reporters say, well, you know, why is this happening, other than to beat over the head the first social network outside the U.S. to really take off in the U.S. or everything else? So it's been very, like I said, it's very odd.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what to say about it. The White House has gotten involved in a lot of things that it's.
And if you barely understand everything I just said in the 5 minutes, you're not alone. Almost no one understands it at this point. I'm not sure we will when it's over either.
Well, let's just complicate life and talk a little bit more about a different social media network. How about YouTube, which has now been criticized for the way that they recommend videos? So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we've written on this issue on CNET a lot. And what's interesting is that, you know, one of the features of YouTube that really sets it successful, right, and helps to get people using it all the time, is this recommendation program that they have called an algorithm. And this is, you know, the what's next idea, right? And so you're watching a video, it recommends another video afterward. And a lot of people just sit there and let the video run and run and run, and then the next one run, and all of that. The problem is that we have seen repeatedly that those videos that are recommended tend to go down rabbit holes of conspiracy theory, far-right extremism, and all sorts of other issues. So now we see Mozilla, which is one of the company that makes Firefox, which is an alternative web browser, they are encouraging people to report when they are recommended a bad video from YouTube. And essentially what Mozilla wants to do is make public all of these problems. And there's plenty to talk about, so they're not going to have trouble finding a lot of stuff. But it underscores how this is still an issue. It has been for years, and YouTube just can't get its arms around it.
So I actually have a YouTube channel. I don't know if you know that, Ian.
I did not, but I'm going to totally subscribe now.
I hope so. I've got like, I don't know, 12 or 13,000 subscribers, so I'm way off, you know, like your typical TikToker.
Well, now you have 13,001, so there you go.
So psyched. Anyway, it's called Expert Real Estate Tips. And so as I used to make actually a lot of money with this channel because the recommendation engine did just that. It would recommend my other videos to people who were, you know, looking at videos about credit scores and fixing up their homes or inspections or whatever. And now they recommend other people's videos, which is really irritating as the person who has the channel. So I now am so happy to know that I can go and complain to Mozilla. I think one thing that people also don't understand, but I know that you do, is that YouTube is the second most popular search engine, at least the last time I checked, right after its parent company of Google. And I think a lot of people don't think about that.
No, they don't. And it's actually very interesting because we're seeing trends. There's not a lot of data around this yet, but we're seeing a lot of trends that Gen Z, which while we're all kind of looking down on them, they are not that far from entering the workforce. So, but Gen Z uses YouTube a lot more than they use Google learn stuff.
That's true.
You know, I'll admit to myself, like if I'm trying to fix something in my car or something around the house, I don't go to Google. I go straight to YouTube because people like you, right, all these experts create videos that are really easy to follow along, and that's how it goes. So it's really interesting how much YouTube has kind of wormed its way into our lives and become really essential, which underscores why we need to fix these problems with the recommendation engine.
All right, so I just have to ask you, what do you think? I have roughly 700 videos on my YouTube channel. What do you think is my number one video?
It's probably one where, like, a cat interrupts you or something.
Oh, shoot. I wish I had thought of that. No, it's called Step by Step How to Paint Your Room, I think.
Oh, there you go.
How to paint your room. And it literally has something like 6 million views. It's an insane number of people. I think it's because the guy who's painting the room is kind of hot. But that was a total...
Never hurts.
Yeah, he was the only guy we could get to paint the house. He was like, well, I'll show you how to do a house painting thing, but whatever. Anyway, it's just sort of interesting how that's all worked out. We have to cut it short, of course, today, but will you come back and talk to us again?
Oh, absolutely. Always enjoy talking.
It's been great to have you. Ian Schur is editor-at-large of CNET. You can find out more at CNET.com.